time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight, we have a terrifying story down in Mexico City by the El Castillo Pyramid, where a tour guide and his friend, who do some side gigs for the tourism out there, disappear. But one comes back without answers. But things start to happen to the locals. Stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy tonight's story. People around here don't like talking about what happened at El Castillo. Not because they forgot, but because the jungle remembers for them. It holds on to every noise, every secret. Even after the sun goes down, it keeps whispering, like it's telling the stones to stay awake. I was born in Piste, the little town that feeds all the visitors to Chichen Itza. My father sold carvings near the gate, and my mother made tamales for the guides. I grew up watching buses roll in full of people from everywhere. Americans, Germans, Japanese, each of them sweating under the same sun, each of them thinking they were discovering something new. When you grow up near a place like that, you start to think the ruins are just part of life. You stop seeing the mystery. They're just there, older than everyone, breathing slow under the trees. But the old folks never stopped treating them with respect. My grandmother used to say, "The stones have memory. Don't touch them when the shadows grow long." I never listened much. None of us did. We were kids. We used to sneak into the plaza after hours, racing up and down the ball court, shouting to hear the echo bounce back 8 or 9 times. We thought it was magic, and maybe it was. When I got older, I started helping a friend of mine named Manuel. He had been a guide for more than 20 years and knew every path, every story the tourists wanted to hear. He was proud of his work. He said you could tell when someone respected the site because the air around them felt calm. He also said that when the air turned heavy, it meant someone or something was watching. Last year, 5 Europeans came through town, 2 couples and a younger man. They were polite, rich, the kind who think they're ready for anything. They booked a private twilight tour. I remember shaking my head when Manuel told me. The rules say no tours after dark, but Manuel said they were offering good money, and he'd walked to those grounds 1,000 times. "It's fine," he said. "The night doesn't scare me." That was on a Thursday. Friday morning, their van was still parked by the gate. The keys were still in the ignition, but no sign of anyone. We figured maybe they had driven out early and forgot to tell the office. But by noon, the lodge called asking why they hadn't checked back in. The police came by that evening, asked a few questions, looked around half-heartedly. Tourists wandered off all the time. But when Saturday came and still no word, people started to whisper. Sunday night, I was closing my cousin's shop when I saw something move along the road, bare feet, torn clothes. It was Manuel. He was walking like someone half asleep, mumbling, eyes wide open. His skin looked gray with dust, and his lips cracked like old stone. He didn't seem to know who I was. When I called his name, he turned and grabbed my arm. His nails dug in deep, and he whispered,
"They're under the pyramid, hermano. They wear our faces."
By the time the police got him to the clinic, he had just gone quiet, just staring at the ceiling, trembling. The local army showed up the next morning. Big trucks, loud radios, and faces that looked like they already knew they wouldn't like what they'd find. They closed the park. No visitors. No locals. For 3 days, we heard engines and shouting from behind the fence. The dogs they brought wouldn't go near the pyramid. They'd whine and pull at their leashes until the soldiers dragged them away. On the fourth day, one of the soldiers came in the town for water. He sat on the curb, shaking his head.
"The ground's wrong out there," he told the shopkeeper. "It sounds hollow, like someone breathing under it."
When they left, they didn't tell us much. Just that the tourists were still missing and the guide was unstable. They took Manuel to Merida for treatment, and I never saw him again. After that, officials put up new fences and said parts of the site were unsafe. But the people in town knew something else had happened. We could feel it in the way the wind stopped moving at night, and how even the frogs went quiet near the ruins. A week later, a soldier came back alone to pick up some papers he had forgotten. He had an empty look in his eyes, like he had left a piece of himself out there. He told my neighbor that he had found claw marks in the limestone. Deep, clean cuts like from machinery, except there was no machinery there. He said they followed the marks to a blocked tunnel near the base of El Castillo, a tunnel not on any new map. They filled it in with concrete. At least, that's what they said. Tourists started coming again after a month, like nothing happened. The government officials called it an unfortunate disappearance due to disorientation in a restricted area. That sounded tidy enough for the papers. But here in Piste, folks don't buy it. You could tell by how they talk around the subject, eyes sliding away whenever the name Manuel comes up. Every legend starts the same way. Someone trying to explain what can't be explained. And here, that's how this one began. After the soldiers left, the whole town went quiet for a while. You could walk down the main street and hear the fans turning inside the shops. That's how still it was. Nobody wanted to talk about what they had seen. But rumors have their own legs down here. By the second week, every house had a different version. Some say the army broke through a sealed chamber and found bones that didn't belong to any animal they knew. Others said one of the soldiers went missing too, and that's why they had packed up in a hurry. Nobody can prove a thing. The only truth was that 5 tourists are gone, and the man who took them there came back wrong. That's when the little story started, side stories, like echoes of the same event. A night guard at the visitor's center swore he heard laughter drifting out to the plaza long after curfew. He said it sounded like children at first, then like someone repeating his own voice back to him. He quit the next morning and moved to Cancun. A week later, a maintenance worker named Felipe disappeared.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
He had been painting the new fence around the north face of the pyramid. His partner went to fetch more paint and came back 10 minutes later, and Felipe was gone. No footprints, no can, just his brush lying in the dust. The bosses told everyone to keep it quiet, said maybe he went home sick. But everyone in town knows his wife came by crying that night, asking if we had seen him. She said he left his lunch on the table. People started saying the ground near the pyramid had gone strange, soft when it shouldn't be, warm even after it rains. Some kids dared each other to touch it through the fence. One did, just a quick tap with his hand. Next morning, he had a rash shaped like scales running up his wrist. His mother burned his shirt and made him sleep with the Bible under his pillow. I tried to keep out of it, but every time I drove past the site, I felt the same heaviness, like the air thickened around my chest. At night, you could see the lights from the new security towers flicker, even when the power was steady everywhere else, like the bulbs were breathing. One night, I was sitting outside the cantina with my neighbor Luis. He was older than me, one of those men who still believed the old stories. He said his grandfather used to talk about tunnels under the pyramid, deep shafts connecting to the cenotes where offerings were thrown. Luis said they weren't just tunnels. They were mouths, made to feed the gods. I laughed, told him that was just old talk to scare children. He stared at me for a long time, then said,
"You think the old gods ever stopped being hungry?"
He finished his beer and walked home without another word. A few days later, he came by my house early in the morning, pale and shaking. Said he had gone near the fence at night to prove to himself that there was nothing there. He heard someone whisper his name from inside the ground. I told him he must have just dreamt it. He didn't argue. He just said,
"Maybe, but the dirt moved when it said it."
After that, I noticed something else. Birds stopped nesting in the trees closest to the pyramid. The cebas stood clean, no sound but wind. And if you stood at the right angle, you could smell metal in the air, sharp like blood, every evening around sunset. Then the government brought back a handful of engineers, said they were installing new drainage systems. Everyone knew it was another search. They brought scanners, like little robots with cameras. Two of the machines went down a crack near the old tunnel site. One came back. The other just stopped sending a signal. The operator said it went dark suddenly, like the feed was swallowed. When the crews left that month, they poured fresh concrete over the spot and paved it flat. Officially, for safety. But nobody believes concrete can keep the past from breathing. That's when the second set of disappearances began. Smaller this time, scattered, always near the site. A fruit vendor who sold water outside the gate, a park ranger who used to work the night shift. They were gone between one sunrise and the next. The papers didn't cover it. Tourists didn't know. But everyone in the piste started locking doors before dark. The sound of the jungle changed again. No frogs, no owls, just silence. One evening I was walking home and passed by the edge of town where you could still see the top of the pyramid over the trees. The sun was low, orange light cutting through the leaves. And for a moment, I saw something flash near the stones, like a mirror changing light, except it was under the surface, deep. Then it was gone. When I told my wife, she said, "Stop watching the ruins. Let the ruins watch themselves." That's good advice down here, but not everyone listens. After those last disappearances, people stopped using the front road at night. The town still worked, still smiled for the tourists. But once the sun drops, Piste turned into two different places. The one in the daylight, full of color and chatter, and the one in the dark, where the doors shut early and nobody even hints a whisper after dinner. The new guides came from the city. Young ones, full of energy. They laughed at us for being so superstitious. Said they weren't afraid of a bunch of old stones. I remember one of them, a student named Rodrigo. Bright kid. Used to come by my porch for coffee before his shift. He liked hearing the old stories. Said he was going to write a paper about myth and tourism. Then one afternoon, he asked if he could see the old tunnel. I told him it was sealed. He said he heard you could still find the top of the concrete patch if you walk along the fence. I warned him not to. He grinned and said, "Come on, Don Ernesto, ghosts don't scare cameras." That was the last time I saw him. The officials told his family he must have gone exploring and gotten lost in the brush. But we searched every trail that week. No tracks, no torn clothing, nothing. Like the jungle just decided to keep him. After that, I started paying attention again. You could tell when something was off because the air got heavy and sweet, like sap. Around dusk, it would cling to your skin. And sometimes you'd hear what sounded like footsteps on the gravel road behind you, but too light for boots, too steady for an animal. When you turned, it stopped. One night, a storm rolled in from the coast. Big one, wind howling, rain hitting sideways. The lights went out across half the town. I was sitting by the window watching lightning flash over the ruins when the power came back on for a second. In that blink, the top of the pyramid lit up white as bone. I swear I saw movement, like silhouettes climbing down the steps, but the rain washed them away before the next flash. I didn't tell anyone. You start talking like that, people stop inviting you over. A few days later, an old woman from San Felipe came through selling herbs. She had heard about the vanishings, said the land was hungry again. She told me her grandmother used to say the gods of the underworld were locked beneath the stones, but every few generations they found cracks to breathe through. "You can't close a mouth forever," she said. "You could only hope it's not calling your name." I thought about that every time I'd pass the site. The fence was rusting again. The warning signs had faded in the sun. I saw new cracks in the concrete patch they poured, fine as hair, but spreading. The engineers came once, looked at it, said it was normal expansion. But when they touched the ground with their instruments, the readings jumped. I was standing nearby when one of them muttered,
"It's warm."
He didn't come back after lunch. His coworker said he went to Merida to file a report, but nobody saw him leave. That's how the story grows here. Not with proof, but with absences. Each missing person adds another verse. Kids draw the pyramid in school and color the bottom black. Teenagers dare each other to walk the fence line at night, but most never make it past the first corner. They say you start to hear breathing from under your feet, slow and deep, like something sleeping light. Sometimes the tourists catch pieces of it too. A few months ago, a family from Texas came through. Their boy was about 10. On their way back to the car, he stopped, staring at the pyramid, and said,
"Mom, there's someone inside waving at me."
The parents laughed, said it was the heat. Later that night, the mother came back to the gate, asking if anyone had found a little toy her son dropped. The guard said he hadn't, but he remembered seeing a boy toss something towards the fence before they left. A small silver plane. They never found it. And yet, every now and then, when the light hits right, something glints under the soil by the fence. Just for a second, then it's gone again. That's how the jungle works. It hides what it keeps. After a while, you stop being surprised at what disappearances. That's how life gets in a place like this. Things go missing, and the jungle just rolls over them like the tide. Still, every time I drive past the ruins, I can't help glancing towards that fence. Half of me expects to see someone waving from the other side. The other half hopes that I never do. Business picked back up that spring. Buses came in again, full of families, and the sound of guides practicing English drifted down the street. The town looked alive, but if you stayed long enough, you noticed the difference. People smiled without showing teeth. Nobody whistled while sweeping their stoop. Even the dogs stayed close to the doorways after dark. One evening, a reporter from Mexico City came by my porch. Said she was writing a feature about mystery tourism. He wanted locals who remembered the disappearances. I poured him coffee and told him the same story I tell everyone. What I saw, what I didn't. He kept pressing for details.
"Do you believe in the supernatural?" he asked.
I told him, "I believe what I saw was real, and that's enough." He laughed, thinking I was dodging him. The next day, he went out to the site to take photos. He never sent me the article, and the paper said later he had moved on to another assignment. Funny how people keep moving on without saying goodbye. After that, I started writing things down. Dates, weather, who was on shift, just to see if there was a pattern. There was. Every disappearance, every sighting, even the camera they found, all happened within 3 days of the equinox. The same time the sun lined up with the serpent shadows crawling down the pyramid. Maybe coincidence? Maybe not. That year, the equinox fell on a Tuesday. I told myself I'd stay home, stay quiet. But curiosity is a disease that doesn't heal. Around dusk, I walked out to the road and parked where I could see the top of El Castillo between the trees. The crowd inside was cheering. The usual festival lights, the drums, the vendors. It all looked harmless. When the sun hit the corner just right, that shadow's snake started sliding down the steps, perfect as always. People clapped, phones flashed. Then the generator hum dropped low, like a growl under the ground, and all the lights blinked off at once. The plaza went dark for maybe 10 seconds, long enough for everyone to gasp. Then the lights came back and the show continued. And I thought, that's it. Nothing happened. I almost believed it. When the crowd cleared out, I drove home. On the curve past the service road, my headlights caught something pale lying beside the ditch, a folded tourist map, wet from dew. When I picked it up, I saw muddy fingerprints across the ink, but the map was torn right where the pyramid should have been. The rest was clean. I told no one. Just threw it in the trash behind my house. The next morning, the bin was empty. No dogs had been around, no wind, nothing. Just gone. That's when I stopped trying to connect the dots. You start seeing patterns everywhere and you'll lose your mind. Better to let some things just stay separate. That's what the elders always said. Don't go looking for the end of a story if it started before you were even born. Still, there are nights when I can't stop thinking about that hollow sound under the ground. I've heard it 3 times since. The low sighing, like breathing moving through stone. It comes just before rain. My wife says it's thunder rolling in. Maybe she's right. But the animals always go quiet a minute before, as if they know to listen. The government has plans to build a new visitor center next year. Bigger parking, more hotels. People are happy. Money makes them forget. But the old folks, the ones who sit outside the shop with their coffee, shake their heads. They say every time we dig, the earth remembers what's beneath. And every time we forget, it reminds us. It's been a few years now, but the story never really leaves you. People think legends fade, that the world moves on, but in small towns, time just folds over itself. The new cafe sits where the old bus stop was, and under the fresh painted walls still smell like dust and diesel. Things change, but they don't. I still guide tours once in a while, mostly daytime groups. I tell the official history, how the pyramid was built, the alignment with the stars, the sacrifices and the calendars. I leave out the other parts. Most people aren't asking to hear that anyways. They just want a picture and a story they can repeat at dinner back home. Sometimes one will ask, "Is it true what they say about the people disappearing here?" And I tell them what my grandmother told me. If you listen long enough, every stone tells a story. Some you just shouldn't answer. A few months ago, a new guard joined the night shift. A kid from Kempenche. He stopped by my porch one morning after work, said he had heard voices near the fence, like a tour group whispering in another language. When he called out, it stopped. I told him not to worry, probably echoes from a hallway. He nodded, but I saw he didn't believe me. He transferred out 2 weeks later. That same month, a film crew came through, making a documentary about Mysteries of the Yucatan. They interviewed everyone, the mayor, the priests, the shop owners, but not the old guides. They left after a week, said the footage kept coming out with a strange hiss under the audio, like breathing. They blamed the equipment. Maybe it was. but one of the cameramen left his tripod behind, leaning against my cousin's wall. Nobody touched it since. At night, when I sit outside, I still hear the jungle hum. Some nights it's soft, like it's sleeping. Other nights it's restless, wind moving in circles. I tell myself it's just the weather, that I'm an old man who spent too much time around stories. But every equinox I stay awake till morning. Habit, maybe fear. I listen for that sigh beneath the ground. I haven't heard it this year. Not yet. There's a saying here. The earth eats what's hers, but she never bites the same place twice. I hope that's true. Because if you stand on the road at dusk, you could see new cracks in the concrete where they had sealed the tunnel. Just hairlines now, but they're spreading. And when rainwater runs into them, it disappears fast, like the ground's drinking. Sometimes I think about Manuel, about those tourists, about all the ones whose names have become stories. I wonder if they're part of that place now. If that's why the air feels thicker when you walk near the fence. Maybe the jungle didn't take them. Maybe it just remembered them too well. A few months ago, a woman from Spain stopped me in town, said her uncle was one of the missing. She wanted to see where it happened. I told her she shouldn't, that it's fenced and dangerous. She thanked me anyways, left a candle at the gate. It burned steady all night, no wind, no wax spilling. In the morning it was gone, wick and all. Nothing but a circle of clean stone where it had stood. I don't try to explain it anymore. I tell my stories, sell my carvings, and lock my door before dark. But if you ever come here, you'll feel it too. The weight in the air. The hush after sunset. You'll think it's the heat pressing on you. Maybe you're right. But maybe it's the ruins breathing, slow and patient, waiting for the next time someone stays too long after the gates close. And if you ever hear your name carried out from the dark, no matter how familiar it sounds, don't turn around. Just keep walking towards the light.